My name is Agustin Mehta. I'm based in California, in the United States, and I work at Meta, leading a team called Concept Engineering. I'm the director for the group, and our charter is building early prototypes, new concepts, and new ideas for our wearables devices group within Reality Labs.
Can we talk about the product most people have been talking about in the blind and partially sighted community when it comes to Meta over the last year, and it's the Meta Ray-Ban glasses that are pretty much everywhere at the moment. Can you give us a brief description as to what they are, first of all?
Sure. I mean, this is a product I'm extremely passionate about. My own journey in this space is a bit personal. My mom is blind. I have some vision issues of my own, as does my son and a few other family members. Throughout my career, I've tried to find areas where I can apply the tech stack I work on in a way that can help connect people, regardless of their background or their physical abilities. There's a project I worked on at Microsoft called Seeing AI a number of years back that I think many in the blind and limited community are familiar with. I had the pleasure of contributing a bit to that. And when I joined Meta, there was a nascent project to build smart glasses. Again, I had the luck of being able to work on that a bit, and I really wanted to apply some of that same energy that I had done in past career to use AI to help people who are visually impaired. So first and foremost, the glasses we're shipping are eyewear. I think we made a really good decision in partnering with EssilorLuxottica and making something that was industrial designed to look good and feel good and be attractive eyewear first, as opposed to tech first. I think tech forward has turned people off. The glasses enable you to capture moments in your life that are exciting through pictures and video. They enable you to capture audio as well as listen to audio discreetly, but with high quality. It doesn't cover your ears up, but it sends the sound pretty close to just your ears so that others generally cannot hear it.
Now, one of the big points about these glasses is that they have become very popular in the blind and partially sighted community because, you know, people can have hands-free communication using services like WhatsApp and Messenger. People can ask AI various questions and get information and, you know, capture video content and do video calls without worrying which direction to point the camera. When they were being designed, did you expect at any stage for them to be this popular with the blind and partially sighted community, for whom it wasn't specifically designed for, but yet has become almost an essential tool in some people's toolboxes?
Me personally, yes. That's what attracted me to be in the group. From the company standpoint, the initial product description and product requirements were not centered on accessibility, and they still aren't. They're marketed as a mainstream device. This is an aspect which I think is unique to companies like Meta, which, at least in the parlance of U.S. tech companies, we call a bottoms-up organization. That's in contrast to the more traditional corporate structure, which is tops-down. What I mean by that is other places I've worked, for example, Apple and more traditional companies, direction comes from leadership. Product vision is fed from your management chain downward. If you have a great idea, well, maybe you can feed it around, but ultimately you do what your boss tells you to do. Historically, Meta, and previously when it was called Facebook, is much more of a grounds-up type of culture. So engineers across the company are encouraged to put together hackathon projects, and that comes from the earliest days of the company. Many of the biggest features that we've shipped, even historically, like the Messenger product, the newsfeed, they were built out of side hackathon projects that weren't core things that someone's manager told them to do. So I bring up this segue because when we were early in on the development of the Ray-Ban Stories glasses, myself and a number of other members of the team created a bunch of hackathon projects and concepts around leveraging this form factor and compute stack to help blind and low vision users. We did demonstrations of using optical character recognition to read things. We did demonstrations of using AI to describe and read the world to the user. And all the aspects you mentioned about the glasses being the perfect form factor, the cameras pointing in the direction you're looking, your hands being free so you can operate a cane or use a guide dog or even just do whatever you want with your hands, the sound being private and discreet as opposed to using VoiceOver on an iPhone with speakerphone on, but not covering up the ears as traditional headphones would, thus giving you all the spatial audio cues of the real world, which are so critical to navigation and orientation and effective mobility. From the company standpoint, the initial pitch for the product was not one as an accessible device, but even from the earliest days of the project, There has been grassroots efforts among engineers who are passionate about this topic to build these feature sets in. And I think that's why it's been so effective, because we've had early demonstrations of all the features that our blind and low vision users love.
Has the popularity of the glasses within the blind and partially sighted community influenced Meta's current work on the future of the product?
Yes, I think it's inspired our leadership. Many of the messages that internally, you know, a couple people like myself have been giving, they land well. Of course, the message speaks for itself, but actually seeing that hypothesis verified by users loving the project has encouraged our leadership. There's also a concept called curb cuts, which I'm sure you're familiar with in accessible design. The idea being that the traditional curb cuts in a city plan were initially put there to enable people in wheelchairs to have mobility and access to sidewalks. But they actually benefit everybody. If you ever used a stroller, I guess you call it a pram here, or a shopping cart, trolley, you can navigate better. Subtitles and closed captioning are another great example of this that were initially developed and designed for people who are deaf and hard of hearing, but are widely used by everybody, regardless of disability or not. And I think that concept is becoming very apparent to our leadership, because a user interface that enables somebody to operate without vision is a good user interface in general, because you don't always want to demand that the user have their eyes glued to your screen.
And one of the particular standout features with the glasses, which I've heard a lot of people mention, well, two technically, but they're quite similar, is the Meta AI look and tell features and the live video that I've seen in action on various videos. Can you talk a bit about how they work?
Those are some of the features I'm most excited about. And so you've probably been following the general trend in technology space of leveraging LLM-based AI technologies to describe images and more recently video. Our tech stack works by taking images on the Ray-Ban glasses and feeding them through our cloud to our AI models in order to describe and produce information about the world. Today, these features are available in regions that we've rolled out and are comfortable as a company in shipping, that ensuring we're in compliance with local regulations. So it's not rolled out everywhere in the world yet. I'm very confident that that will expand and our footprint will expand very shortly. The sorts of things that LLMs are very good at are describing features that they've been trained upon by our users. So the sorts of things that a person might care about, like, you know, how many people are in front of me? What does this sign say? Is the scene in front of me light or dark? What color are these clothes? What type of currency is in front of me? Those are all things that AI today is very suitable at doing. One very powerful technology that's actually been around for a while and is separate from the AI stuff is optical character recognition, or OCR. So that's been fairly good for quite some time, and there have been products on the market that can read text. But marrying that with AI is, I think, extremely powerful, because when you're able to take the text out of a scene, but then intelligently understand the way it's laid out, for example, in a restaurant menu, you now have a situation where a person previously might have just been reading raw text in a big, huge paragraph that doesn't make any sense, and now it can be organized in the same structure that a sighted person would organize if they're reading it aloud. I think that we're going to see similar sorts of innovation in digesting web content. I think screen readers are going to get a lot better at understanding the intent of the designer instead of just reading things out loud. I think that the need for things like alt text on the web is going to decrease as AI models are able to automate it.
Tell us a bit about the live Meta AI, the live video feature.
There's a limited amount I can talk about because it's not shipping everywhere yet. It's an early access product, but essentially the live AI feature enables the user to capture video over an extended period of time, and as well as capture audio cues. It's a multimodal AI, and have a natural live conversation with the AI agent. So for example, in a session right now, if I were using the live AI agent, I could be conversing with you and then perhaps ask, you know, what brand of microphone and camera that you're using, and it would casually give me the answer to it. And where it's really powerful is I might ask, hey, when I walked over earlier to get water, you know, what type of water was it? Was it sparkling or still? And it would be able to remember that stuff and tell me, and potentially even help me navigate to find which bottle was the proper one that I wanted. So being able to remember extant things, I think is super powerful. Essentially, the dream for me, and I think we're not too far off from it, is providing descriptive video for the real world that's dynamically created. So as you know today, like there's descriptive video available for select titles on major media platforms like Netflix, but it's dependent upon a human narrator. I believe we're already at the point where static video could be post-processed and have description generated, and you're going to start seeing that more. But the feature you're describing that we're on the cusp of is going to provide that live for the real world, which I think is extremely powerful.
And can you tell us how important it is to collaborate with companies such as Be My Eyes, who are also available on the Meta glasses with the cool A Volunteer feature?
Yeah, that collaboration's been amazing. I think part of the power of that collaboration is that Be My Eyes, first and foremost, is an organization and company focused on building for the community. And so even though at Meta, of course, we have a strong inclination to serve that community, partnering with a company that's got it like front and center, it helps inform us to make sure we're making design decisions that make sense. The initial collaboration that we've released, which is, as you said, the call and volunteer feature, is super powerful on glasses for all the reasons that you mentioned earlier. Hands-free, the camera's pointed the way your face is pointed, the audio is discreet. It's just, I think, head and shoulders better than doing it on a phone. Perspective of folks at Be My Eyes, particularly blind and low vision folks on the team, has also been really impactful and powerful because it's called into our attention things that might not have been top of mind for our leadership, right? Simple things like, you know, having a user interface that doesn't demand vision. I mean, on paper, everybody knows that, but in practice, having a blind and low vision user try the thing out is extremely powerful. It gives really fast feedback to where improvements need and where it's not. And so I'm looking forward to continued collaboration with them as well as other organizations.
Fantastic. And if people would like to find out more about the Meta Ray-Ban glasses, I mean, we can try them here at your stand too, but where else can people go if they are not at the conference today?
Sure, yeah. So there are some Meta stores sprinkled around the world, as well as SLR Luxottica Ray-Ban stores where folks can try out the device. So the Ray-Ban stores, I know in the United States, many of them have live demo stations, which is extremely exciting. I believe that's the case globally as well, although I don't have up-to-date details on all the locations. They're also available through optical shops. So the beauty of the existing portfolio that we have today is that you can buy them with shades. You can also purchase them with a prescription. And if you purchase just the frames alone, you can have your optician fit prescription. Is the industrial design is the same as the Ray-Ban Wayfarer headliner styles that Ray-Ban has shipped previous to making smart glasses. So that's, I think, one of the really great aspects of this product is that it's a mainstream device and it's not a tech-forward gadget.
Fantastic. Augustia Meta, thank you very much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.